Got your Bible, turn to the book of Numbers, please. Chapter number 13, the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 13. I'm going to read from verse 26 down to the end of the chapter. It says, "And they went and came to Moses and Aaron." These are the 12 spies. "And all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, 'We came to the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan.' And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched on the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so are we in their sight.'" Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you today. We can once again read from your holy writ. We ask today for the anointing of the Spirit of God. We pray, O God, that you might work in our hearts and bless. Lord, there's a need here in this room this morning. And so we pray that that need might be met. Spirit of God, only you can do that. And so we just leave this in your hands. We thank you for the privilege being in the house of God this day. We pray you will bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. In this chapter, we are introduced to a man by the name of Caleb. In verse number 6 is the first mention of him as he lists those who are spies going into the promised land. And just simply says, Caleb the son of Jephunneh. Many believe that Jephunneh was not even an Israelite, but a proselyte. In other words, one who was a Gentile who wanted to be a Jew. And Caleb his son is chosen to go along with 11 others into the land, that they might spy it out, that they might bring word back again as to what they are looking at. He was the first one to speak in favor of going into the land. He believed that God had promised it, and thus God was able to deliver them into that land. He was a man, I believe, that was respected by his tribe to be chosen, but also, I believe, a man who was also respected by the nation as a whole. We notice in verse number 30, as we read there, that Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And so as they're coming and speaking to him, and I'm sure there's somewhat of an uproar, he is the one who quiets them. Perhaps we could say he had presence. As we could say, he was one that just commanded folks to pay attention. We find then that he is one who demonstrates a lone voice that represented a belief in God, not belief in what he saw. In other words, he had a spiritual eye. He did not look at that which was around him, but what God had given to them. We find that the other 10, Joshua excluded, they say, "We cannot do this." They claim before the people that there are giants there. They claim that there are those there whom they just would not be able to handle, that they're not strong enough to do so. By the way, don't fault the ten too much. They told the truth. They were not able of themselves to do it. And they must depend upon God. And that's what Caleb saw. He recognized that with God, they were able to do so. And we find that he is that one, along with Joshua, who was spared the judgment that God is now going to bring upon all of these who would not believe God. At Kadesh Barnea, they turned their back on God. We find at Kadesh Barnea, the company, those who are Israelites, they said, "We're going to follow the ten. We cannot do this job." And thus they did not believe God. And God said, "Okay, I am going to judge you. And because you were in that land for 40 days, I will take 40 years before you are dispensed with. And after you are gone, your children, whom you are so fearful will be swallowed up in this land, will go into the promised land." And so judgment is placed upon them. And for the next, really, 38 years, they'd already been 2 years wandering, we find that there are graves lined across the desert. And yet we find something different about this man, Caleb. You go to chapter 14. I'd like for you to go down to verse 22 with me for just a moment. In verse number 22, in talking about this that is coming upon them, he says, "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." As we notice here, Caleb had another spirit. Caleb had something different about him. We find as we study the story of the Jewish people that it's really a story of you and I. As we look at all that took place, it's really a preview of the Christian walk. For you and I, we get saved by the blood. The blood was applied on the doorpost of every home of the Jewish families. And as the death angel came, they were spared. They crossed over the Red Sea. They left the land of Egypt, that which was worldly, and they followed God into this place. We find that they studied or were given the law of God at Mount Sinai. And then we find, after this period of time in the wilderness, God takes them to Kadesh Barnea, there to march on into the land. They send those 10-12 spies in. They come back with an evil report. And now they say, "We can't do it." The picture that we need to understand is that though we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, does not necessarily mean that we walk in victory in this life. Because the way to salvation is by faith, and the way into the land, the way into the promise, the way into victory is by the same faith. The just, the Bible says, shall live by faith. And so as we study these people, as we study even the character of Caleb, we find some things we can make application of in our own lives. For here in this man is a man who has another spirit. Within this man, Caleb, is that which I believe is those characteristics that we so desperately need. In studying for this, God seemed to give to me some thoughts and ideas. First of all, I believe that other spirit was that of very strong convictions. Very strong convictions. In other words, he simply believed what God said. Period. When the spies went to the land, they all saw the same place. They all saw the same people. But there were two men that came back that saw something the other 10 did not see. They saw God. 10 saw the land. They saw the people. They saw the giants. They saw the chariots of iron. But Caleb and Joshua, they saw God.
And Caleb said, we can do this with God's help. When you are convinced of God's will, the strength of the enemy is no deterrent. When you know God be with you, then you know that all must fall before you. You know that He will take you through. Brethren, in this life, we are going to face enemies and things and giants. I mean, we are going to face that which is much stronger than we are. And God allows that in our lives because God wants us to understand He can take us through. But we have a choice to make at Kadesh Barnea. Are we going to believe God or are we going to look at the giants? Are we going to believe Him or are we going to look at that which is round about us? When confronted by the unbelief of the other spies and then of the people, Caleb stood confident in his God. He never looked at their weakness, but he looked at God's strength. I think of what Paul wrote to the Corinthians when he said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." He stood amongst those who were naysayers. And by the way, I know this from experience and I know it from my own life because I've been in that spot as well. I know that when somebody seeks to do something for God, there are always those that have their reasons that it cannot be done. There's always the naysayers. There's always those that say, well, you know, can we really do this? The key is find out what God wants done and then go after it. It doesn't matter what stands in the way. It can be accomplished. And that was the convictions that we find here in the life of this man, Caleb. But there's something else about Caleb that really intrigues me. And that is not only his convictions, but his continuance. I mean, what he did at Kadesh Barnea did not stop there. What he did at that point as he stood against all the peoples, it was the same thing that took him not only at Kadesh Barnea through the wilderness, but it took him to the mountain that he wanted in Hebron. He had to wait 45 years. Think about it. 45 years. When you look at Scripture, you find that Caleb was 40 years of age when he was a spy going into the land. Now let's understand something. He is 40 years of age. They are 2 years already in the wilderness. And as he is dwelling in that wilderness for the next 38 years, they go into the promised land. But you recall that we find from the Word of God, if you remember the spot, he was 85 years old when he goes to Joshua and says, I want this mountain. Do you understand? He was 7 years in the land of Israel before he even gets to take his mountain. 45 years he waits. Through all the wanderings, through all the rebellions, through all the deprivations that were justifiably not his, he remained faithful, awaiting God to deliver them into the promised land. There were the vipers who bit the people and they died. There were funerals. If you do a little bit of math, you'll find out that it averaged 48 men every day in the wilderness. Not counting the women as they wandered through that time. There was one day that 14,000 died. And yet through all those funerals, through all that death, through all that dying, we find this man continued to follow after God. Through all which seemed to be so depressing, that would seem to be so much of a downer, and yet he kept on going for God. He followed the leadership of Moses. He was not of the household of Korah. He was not like unto Miriam. And then when God placed in position his friend Joshua, then he became a follower of him and showed great respect as he sought him for permission to go in and take that mountain. He followed the leadership of God for those 38 years as a pillar of fire would move and as the cloud by day and as God would move him from one place to another. And many times I'm sure they would look and they would think, why are we moving again? We're comfortable right here. We've been in this spot for a while. Why, God, do you want us to move to another piece of sand? And yet they followed and they stayed with God. And He continued strong throughout those years in the wilderness. But I see something else, and I've simply described it as strong conclusion. At the age of 85, he says that he feels as strong as he did when he was 40. I read an article a number of years ago. It said a man, after he's 50 years of age, begins to lose his strength, his physical strength. I forget the exact percentage of that. I wanted to forget it. Because it seemed like it was about 50% every year. By now, I can't lift anything. It's got to lift me. And yet he stands and he says, I'm as strong this day. God had retained that in his life. And after these 45 years, after this time of waiting, this man, through all of that, had the patience to finally come and to say, now it's time for me to have this mountain. He remained strong through all of that. And he concludes his life in strength. As I look and I study this, I notice something that's very interesting. Not only did his age not deter him, but do you understand that he asked for the toughest land in Israel? Hebron. Hebron had before been called Kirjath Arba, which simply meant the city of giants. The giants they saw in the land lived on this mountain. And Caleb says, give me this mountain. I'm ready for it. I'm the oldest one in this entire camp, but give it to me. There's nobody my age here. Joshua, you're the closest. Give me this mountain. And he took that mountain. Like Daniel, his faith took him the entire distance. And God gave him his inheritance. He was a man of faith that had his eye on the prize and not everything that hindered in the way. You know, too often we're like Peter. Too often we're walking on the water and we don't even realize it, but we're looking at the waves round about us. And we're looking at the waves rather than the Lord Jesus Christ while we're walking on the water, and as a result we begin to sink. Because we look at that which is round about us. We look at this problem and that problem and the other circumstance and whatever it might be. But God wants us to simply believe Him all the way through. Do we understand today that salvation is by faith and sanctification, living for God, living the victorious life, is simply believing what God says every moment of the day? What a glorious position to be in. It's not looking at the other guy. It's not seeing what he's doing. It is seeing God. True faith takes you through all of that which will bring you down. Going back to my Sunday school lesson just a little bit, there's something that's very interesting here. 38 years of his life is consumed because of the sin of his brethren. He endures through 38 years because of their sin. 7 years is that which comes as a result of the enemy. And far too often, it is brethren who take down brethren. But he had his eyes on God. He didn't allow that to take place. He saw God. He stood the entire congregation, except for Joshua, says, we can't do it. He's a lone voice. He believed God.
Can you imagine the difference in the reading of the Word of God had they followed Caleb? Can you imagine the difference in the life of God's people if we'd be a Caleb? Simply believe Him. That's what God wants us to do. Not just for salvation, but for every step of the way. Believe in Him. Let me give you for instance. Somebody says, how am I supposed to survive financially? Well, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down and running over. You say, well, I can't see that. That's right. It's by faith. Yeah, you're right. Can't see that. It's by faith. But preacher, what about my mindset? I've got all these thoughts run through my mind. My Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed on thee. Marvelous. What's our problem? We're not believing God. If our mind stays on Him, it's clear. Well, preacher, what about my emotions? Philippians says, oh, I can't remember all of them. Whatsoever is, and all the good things. He says, think on these things. And the God of peace shall be with you. You see, God has it planned for us if we believe Him. What's our problem? We're like the 10 spies. We go into the land and we see all the giants. We see all the problems. We see all the circumstances. We look and we say, boy, we cannot do this. There's this, this, and this. And Caleb stood and said, we are well able. We are well able. Why? Because he believed God. And he demonstrated it 45 years later. When he took the toughest of the tough and took it. Where are we at today? Do we believe God? Do we look to Him or do we look to everything else? Do we try to figure out our own circumstances or we just really leave it to Him? By the way, that doesn't mean we don't think. It doesn't mean that we don't plan. But we seek Him and allow Him to do that in our lives. Father, today work in our lives. I pray You speak to us. Lord, may we see Your strength. May we behold Your goodness. May our spiritual eyes be upon You rather than that which is round about us. Lord, we know the storms rage. We know that the obstacles are great. We know that the enemy is strong. And God, we know that in the flesh we have not the ability to conquer. We cannot even conquer ourselves. But God, You are the conqueror. And in You we are more than conquerors, You have said. May we see You. Increase our faith. God, today, there be one in the reach of my voice that does not have faith in Christ as their Savior. May it be generated today. Oh God, may they realize that there is a God who wants to save their hell-deserving soul. And for Your people, that we might understand and recognize that the One who saved our soul wants to lead us every step of the way. If we'll just believe You, God, work in our hearts this day. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.